I think I warned you at the beginning of Lent when we were going to be reading Psalms that I would probably say every single week, this is one of my favorite Psalms. And this week it is. I have about 150 favorite Psalms, by the way. We actually read this Psalm and I preached on it back in November as well. But one of the great things about Scripture, at least I have found, and all great writing, is you can go back to it again and again and again and read the same thing, and I think it hits you differently. And so this psalm, to me, here in Lent, takes on an even different resonance than it did when we read it and I preached on it back in November. And what jumped out at me this week in considering was these four vignettes of people on their journeys and the difficulties they encounter. We are on the journey of Lent together and with Christ to the cross and then to the empty tomb and to resurrection and Easter. And so these journeys kind of caught my eye. And so this morning I want to talk about these four different circumstances that the psalm lifts up, that the redeemed of the Lord find themselves in. I think it's worth considering these four journeys as we are on this journey. So the first group mentioned, or circumstance, are people who feel they are in the desert, the wasteland, the wilderness, and they are hungry and thirsty. And for each of these vignettes, I would encourage you to hear them not just literally, but also figuratively, metaphorically. So although there are people who are literally in deserts and wastelands or who are really upset at this moment, poor guy, I think many of us have that experience in our lives of feeling kind of cut off, like you're in an empty place and maybe needing to be fed. Now, certainly hunger is an awful issue still in our community, in our world. There are people who are literally hungry and thirsty. And yet, there are also many people who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for perhaps community, for relationship, people who feel alone and cut off, people who feel empty in some way in their lives. And all of this, I think, falls under this first picture offered in the psalm of people in a desert, in a wasteland. And yet God comes. And what does God do for these people? God feeds them. God fills them. Whatever is empty in their lives, whatever they are looking for, God offers it, feeds them, fills them, gives wholeness to these people. The second group are people who feel they are in deep darkness and gloom, even chained. And again, there are people who are literally living this, clearly. Prisoners and others. But widening that idea, that image, I think of things like depression, mental illness, people who feel chained, held back by their own minds and hearts, or genetics. But think of anything that might be holding you back, getting in the way of your relationship with God, chaining you perhaps to a certain habit, routine. You might think of something like addiction falling under here as well. People who are in darkness and gloom and feel imprisoned, unable to get out of whatever it is holding them back. So to these people, God offers release, freedom for whatever it is enchaining them, imprisoning them. The third set of people mentioned or circumstances are people, this translation says they are foolish. It mentions wickedness. They have fallen into wickedness. But then it goes on to allude to physical health and illness as well. And so as I was pondering this third group, line from a hymn kept coming to me. The hymn is, "There is a balm in Gilead." You may remember that balm is to heal a sin-sick soul. And I wonder if that's maybe what this third group really encompasses. People who are feeling foolish, know they have done something they shouldn't or left something undone, as well as physical illness. People who are just feeling ill and sick in some way, physically, mentally, spiritually. And what does God offer to these people? Healing. Healing for physical ailments, perhaps, but most importantly, healing for that sin-sick soul. After all, that's why Jesus came, to heal all of our sin-sick souls. And then finally, there is this fourth group on the sea, we're told, in the midst of the storms at sea. And again, there are people who literally live their lives, do their jobs out on the sea, on the water. But couldn't this also describe many of us who are feeling rocked by stormy waves in some way? Off balance, off kilter. How many of you just in the last couple years have felt like our society is a little out of whack, off balance? The storms that we read about in the paper, on the internet every day. People fighting, disputes, division. How many of you say, "Oh, I long for the good old days when you knew where people stood"? Everything seems off balance and rocky and stormy, perhaps, in our lives for some of us. And what does God offer? Calm the storm. Gives us solid, secure ground on which to stand. Now, interesting, all four of these circumstances, in a literal sense, Jesus addressed in his ministry. He did literally feed the hungry. 5,000, 4,000, depending on which account you are reading. Jesus preached release for the captives. In fact, one of his sermons in the synagogue, he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah and reads that passage. It says, "I have come to proclaim release to the captives." And then he says, "I declare to you, today in your midst, this scripture is fulfilled." Jesus came to heal in both body and mind and spirit, and does it over and over again in the Gospels. And finally, Jesus literally quiets storms. Remember, the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee in that boat. A storm comes up. They get frightened. Jesus wakes up and calms the storm. This psalm in many ways foreshadows, for us looking at it from a Christian perspective, the very ministry and purpose of Christ. But it also reminds us, and I think this is the bedrock message of this psalm, in each of these circumstances and situations, there's a refrain. The people cried out to the Lord, and God saved them from their desperate circumstances. Over and over and over again. And I think that's ultimately the message of this psalm. No matter what we are going through, and it may be that one of these circumstances mentioned resonates deeply with you, or maybe all four of them resonate deeply with you in some way, or from something you have experienced before, something you're experiencing now. But the message of this psalm is, no matter what it is, relief is close at hand. What's required of us is one thing: cry out to the Lord. You know, the very simplest, perhaps most powerful prayer there is, Lord, help me. That's it. And God will. Not always as we expect, not always as quickly as we hope, but God is always there to respond, to offer relief and freedom and healing and calm and peace in the midst of all the circumstances of life. So I would simply invite you to reflect on that, on God's steadfast, faithful love. Be mindful of the very last verse of this psalm, which says, "The wise are those who carefully consider God's faithful love." And so I invite you to take that to heart in this fourth week of Lent. Spend a little time this week, perhaps reflecting backwards into your past when God has been with you, or into your present, and look for how God is with you now. But to carefully consider God's faithful love and its impact on your life and the difference it has made and is making right now.